Drupal Voices is a series of interviews with people contributing to the Drupal community. Brought to you by the 2011 Do It With Drupal Conference. This year's event takes place October 12th, 13th, and 14th in Brooklyn, New York. Come get practical advice and learn the site-building strategies of Drupal's top developers and hear from experts in emerging technologies such as IPTV and mobile app development. For more information and registration rates, visit doitwithdrupal.com.
My name is Eric Gunderson. I work at Development Seed. We're trying to make it easier to make highly custom maps and interactive maps for organizations. And so we built a tool called TileMill that basically allows you to upload a shapefile or work with KML or GeoJSON and take that and quickly style it using a CSS-like language called Cardo. And you can make your map and then quickly export it to PNG, PDF, or something called MB Tiles. And it's basically an SQLite file that holds all these tiles. And you're able to take that MB Tiles package and put that on the web and actually host these totally custom tiles. And the tiles will then integrate seamlessly into Google Maps, OpenLayers, Polymaps, and anything like that. So the whole idea is, you know, if location matters, being able to make a custom map is going to be a real value add for your communications.
Okay, and I know that you've done another like iPad application, Mapbox, that you've gotten a lot of grant money to do both, I guess, TileMill and Mapbox. Maybe you could talk about like how those two kind of play together.
Right. So basically, Mapbox has two key products. There's TileMill for actually making and designing the maps, and then once you export them, you can host them in TileStream, which is a lightweight server that reads these MB Tiles files. Currently, there's a free version that's hosted on Mapbox's GitHub account, but the real play here is a hosted service around hosting these MB Tiles. So by the end of the spring, we're going to launch a service where you can upload your custom MB Tiles and be able to have all these maps actually routed out through an Amazon cloud-based service. So the whole idea is to make these wicked fast. And the service will also make it really easy to actually embed these tiles into any kind of site, whether it's Drupal, WordPress, or any kind of custom application, and there'll be really good analytics around it.
And so talk about like the integration with Drupal. What would a Drupal developer or someone who had a Drupal site who wanted to have some specialized or customized maps, what would they have to do in order to get those in there?
When you're thinking about a map, think about it in two ways. You know when you zoom in on a Google map and you see the squares load? So there's actually a base layer tile set, which is these, you know, 256 by 256 PNGs that will load. Then you either see these like shaded polygon overlays or actual dots on the map. And those can either be tiles or they can also be generated by the actual site itself. So in an application like Managing News, you're seeing custom tiles made by Mapbox, and then we're drawing density points as SVGs on top of the map that are allowing them to be interactive. On more data complex sites, you quickly need to not use SVGs to actually draw the points because they, since by definition they render in the browser, there's a lot of browsers that don't render them effectively, and even some new age browsers, you start running into performance constraints. So you need to bake those and actually figure out a way to get interactivity actually into the tiles. So that's a little background on like two ways to look at the map, but like, so how do you get these into Drupal for a second? So say you want a custom base layer for your map. Say you're like putting something up like, you know, a contact us page and you want to actually show a map up there. And you just want a really custom base layer. This is something where you can go to like OpenStreetMap and grab a shapefile, or all this talk going on with open data and different governments, you can grab your local shapefiles from your local government and using TileMill be able to start theming this out, saying, hey, I want this kind of color, I want to show these kind of features, I just want to show these main roads, I want to show these building footprints or something. And then basically you bake that map, you bake those tiles as an MB Tiles file, put them up in TileStream, and then are able to grab an actual URL from TileStream and just drop this into the OpenLayers module. And then once you have that in, that's just basically swapping out your base layer. And then you can start doing overlays as you see fit. And the overlays is really where the more custom work comes in on the Drupal side. So from the actual Drupal angle, we're trying to make it much, much easier to make the initial base tiles. That said, on real data-heavy Drupal sites, where you don't need to be dynamically rendering the points on your map, TileMill now allows you to actually do interactivity with the map. So it can detect through GeoJSON on mouse over of these tiles, both shaded polygons and points, and do hover effect and on click. So say you're working on a really data heavy project. you could actually grab that entire data set and make the entire map in TileMill, export it out to MB Tiles, put it up in TileStream, and be able to just grab a quick embed code and drop this actually in your site. And that honestly saves you a crazy amount of resources. I mean, here's how we were doing this back in the day. You want a custom tile set? Starts around $5,000 to $10,000, depending on how complicated the data processing we'd need to do. Then you probably want these in an actual Drupal site, and you're going to want data on top of it. So we build out a features-based Drupal site. We put feeds in there so you can actually suck up the CSV file. You start writing a lot of views, plugin handlers for this. This quickly becomes pretty expensive to do. And you also have to, by definition, since on Drupal side you normally do an SVG generation, right, for the points, this starts becoming a seamful experience where, let's say you're trying to make a map of the U.S. You'll draw dots for each state that are big, and then you can click in, drill down to the state level, see more dots, you can click in, drill down farther. That's because if you're going to map like 1,000-plus points on the map, it just wouldn't be performant to do this. So TileMill has some real potentials there when you're working with more static base sets to integrate with Drupal much easier and save you significant costs. Because when you're designing the base tiles yourself, and then at the very least, you're not having to do this whole complicated site setup. So literally, we're now able to make maps, including the data processing, in a 2 to 4 day period, where in the past, you would still have that 2 to 4 day period for doing a lot of the design and processing, but then have to build out a whole site around that. So we're really interested to see how people start leveraging this and when the data sets make sense. We're really surprised by how often you can use a static data set.
So it sounds like this is something that's going to be part of your open data and open government initiatives. And so how do you see, like, who's going to be using this and what type of stuff is, how is this going to help push those initiatives forward?
Right. So we just released TileMill 2.5 weeks ago, and the response has been amazing. 4 days after release, the Chicago Tribune launched a census site for showing population change in the neighborhoods around Chicago using TileMill. When Rahm won to be mayor, they also made a voting map using TileMill. You're seeing a lot of interest in the media. It's really cool to see some of the work USA Today is starting to actually do with TileMill. They're very interested in mapping census data and very interested in some of the performance gains from using this lightweight JavaScript interactivity instead of Flash or instead of vectors. And then you're going to see this week, NPR is going to launch iHeartNPR on Facebook, and they're going to be using TileMill to actually generate those maps to actually show density points of where people love stations. So we're seeing a lot of interest from the media. In addition to that, we're continuing to work in the open government space, doing a lot of work with the Department of Education. Currently, we're mapping all U.S. 100,000-plus K-12 schools and putting that on top of a broadband map for the 8.2 million census blocks actually showing connectivity to try to start identifying what areas and what schools don't have good connectivity, especially in rural areas. So totally continuing on the government front. And then, of course, the majority of our work continues to be in international development. And with large data sets, this was an essential tool for us in some of the Afghanistan work. And currently, most of our internal energies are on the actual Nigeria election for April 9th. In this case, doing survey mapping for that.
And it seems like a lot of the innovation that you've been able to do has partially been funded by different grants from like the Knight Foundation and other places where you've received money to be able to actually build some of these products, even the features and the Drupal distributions. You also received some grant money to do this tile mill. So it seems like development seeds very much into innovating and creating and fire starting and doing new projects. So talk a bit about the process that you've gone through for innovating this stuff, and then what's sort of the next phase for you?
Yeah, no, we definitely look at ourselves more as we are a product company. We're currently trying to be a self-funded R&D team. The mapping stuff is our latest push on this. Knight Foundation has been very forward-thinking in their investments. At first in terms of Drupal, and now they're looking more beyond of what other tools are important and have always been investing heavily on the data visualization side. So their funding, while for us was small, was absolutely critical to doing pushes, first with managing news, and then most recently with TileMill. That said, the main way we fund ourselves is actually through working with very close partners that believe in what we're trying to do. We find projects that we want to work on in much less a client-vendor relationship and much more a partner relationship. And working like that allows us to build some serious underlying infrastructure. So
Also, you know, with the recent sale of the distributions of OpenAtrium and Managing News to Phase 2, a lot of people within the Drupal community see the transfer of all your work that you've helped create in the distribution space, the features, context, boxes, all your modules are basically now in Phase 2. So what is the future of Development Seed in Drupal then?
Right. The resources from the acquisition are huge in helping us invest in this new phase of map work. We're absolutely spending the money already. You can already see some of the wins of that with the Talamil release, and we're going to be burning hard between now and summer on some more releases. But this acquisition was much more than just about funding. Like, these were products we loved. Like, we built OpenAtrium for ourselves. Like, I joke often, we wouldn't be around as a company if we didn't have an internal collaboration tool like OpenAtrium. So, you know, it was really clutch finding a partner that appreciated the Metastack, that looked at Drupal as a product platform, and we're really happy to have somebody that's in a position of scale and size to be able to take these modules to a new level.
I guess with the GPL license, what was preventing from any company from just sort of like doing that? I mean, what does that even mean to have an acquisition of an open source GPL module set and stack and distributions?
Right. No, great question. The main part of the acquisition was much more along the lines of a longer term partnership around the OpenAtrium business space and the Managing News business space. Basically, we were making our money for OpenAtrium and Managing News around customization. And those were very good revenue channels for us that allowed us to have consistent projects that allowed us to keep investing in the core software. That's a really rewarding place to be in. I mean, and those are some of the wins we were getting from treating Drupal as a product framework. So Phase 2 is in a position now to do that through something as simple as getting the trademark. But again, it's more than that. Like, this is funding our collaboration with Phase 2. This is making sure that there's a sustainable handoff here with these key modules and really allowing them to scale. I'm really excited to see the support offerings that they're doing around OpenAtrium. In general, I'm really excited to see the support ecosystem in Drupal mature. Like, there's tremendous potential around these distros for companies to start offering their own specific support flavoring. One of the things that's been most interesting over the last year with building out these products is coming to the realization that it's not just about making an incredible product. I think both Managing News and OpenAtrium are just amazing products, but then making sure the business model around those products actually marries a culture to the team. And this was something that we didn't 18 months ago, we didn't really see what that would mean for us. Like, we figured, okay, we'd build something up and we'd be able to offer kind of support paradigm, and this would allow us to continue to be a product company. It wouldn't. Like, the kind of support offerings that you need for a distro are a bigger team. You don't actually have some of, the team that's actually innovating, doing some of the key underlying work can't be answering support questions. And that was forcing us to make a decision. Do we grow the company, or can we figure out a way to actually scale this business model through a partnership, which is exactly what we did with Phase 2, and actually stay small? We are absolutely trying to focus on staying small. We have no plans to grow.
And so, it seems like the bread and butter of Development Seed is the fire starting, innovating, creating, and then there's the fire keeping, which is that sort of services and monetizing it. So what's different with what you're going to be doing with the Talamil, with spinning that into a service?
No, great question. Talamil and Talestream are something, these are going to be ball bearings to the web. This is about a web service. This is an operation that we can actually keep up and running and treat it much more like a real product that can actually scale with a small team. And a lot of thought has gone into that before we've made this most recent investment push.
Okay. And, when you look at the source code of tilemill.com, it's not even Drupal. It's on Node.js. So talk about, where did Drupal fall down, or what's so attractive about using Node.js?
Right. We started working with Node.js because we work on a lot of data-heavy projects, from Afghanistan elections to, data.worldbank.org. So working in the open data space has required some more performant tools, and also tools that are much more along the lines of being a framework than actually being more of a content management system. And Drupal's definitely going more in the direction of a package content management system. And it's just basically, we need different tools for a more particular, sharper vertical that we're now operating in.
And do you have, you know, now that you're sort of somewhat stepping outside of the Drupal community and doing your own thing with this mapping thing, do you have any sort of retrospective insights or thoughts about the time that you've been really an integral part of the Drupal community?
Yeah, no, this has been a fantastic ride and continues to be. Like, we are development seeds representing at DrupalCon. We're excited to stay actively involved in watching the Drupal space grow. Clearly, our interests have shifted. And we're now looking at ways to make sure that we can help Drupal be an amazing mapping platform and feel that TileMill helps complement some really neat spaces, and are working with a lot of folks doing geo development in the Drupal space now.
Okay, well, great. Thanks.
Cool. Thank you.